Accession number 14975, William Rochester, reel 18.
Mr. Rochester, reel 18. You said you were in Cristo two nights, Mr. Mm-hmm. Rochester. What happened then?
Right. We left Cristo after the second day, I think. I think it's two nights we stayed there. And we left Cristo there, and we were marching toward Gabriel. And I don't know if that's the way you say it in French, but that's the way I say it. We went towards Gabriel. Now, we went through the village. According to this, we just bypassed it, but we had to go through the houses because we were chasing up the 151 brigade. We're following them through, so we had to go. We went through the houses there, and there's a cross there. Was our first casualty, a sniper. There, and we found him in those little bushes. This next door there, there's a little, few little trees there, two or three of the
just lines. Outside the village.
Just outside the village, and actually we came down this way.
What was your reaction when this happened? You know, bang, a man goes down.
Yeah, well, I wasn't with them there. I was back in the. Mm. I heard the bang, but of course I heard a lot of other ones. It didn't mean anything to me at all till one of the lads came back and said, "So and so." I put his name's in the book, but it doesn't matter. He was killed there, from there, and they said, the lads have gone to that bit of wood there, they think he's in there, it come from that direction. So the whole section spread out and went round there, and they brought him back. That surprised me, I'll tell you.
Snipers weren't the most light persons.
But he was brought back. He was wounded. He was wounded. That's why he couldn't move. I don't think he was wounded, and they brought him back. And he went back to our headquarters. Now, what he did after that, I don't know. But that was the first casualty. There's a little cross. There's another one down there.
Did you warn soldiers going into action? Did you warn them about shooting prisoners at all, or was it never mentioned? You just kind of had your job to do, and you did it.
No, I didn't tell them about not shooting anybody. What I did tell them is if we take prisoners, they're very important because we can get good information from them. And some of that information can save a lot of our lives. If we can get some good information from them, that's far better than shooting. You're not getting any satisfaction out of shooting anybody. But I'll tell you about somebody that did later on. And anyway, we went through there. I don't know what days we stopped, you know, till we got. What I do know is when we got down here, it was 26th, somewhere around the 26th of June, because the 28th of June to the 1st of July was the last of the big battle, and I got hit on the 1st of July. So it was a number of 3 weeks actually going through there. Then we came down from there. We went to Brecy, B-R-E-C-Y, went through Brecy, right through the village there. Now we stayed there on the outskirts of the village, on the southern outskirts of the village. We stayed round about there for that night. We had a good night there. One or two villages were there. Not very many, I can't remember how many there were, but the lad said they'd seen two or three people there, and they were all speaking English, and they were very good to them. They would bring a cigarette to them. They brought some crusty bread to them. Things like that, you know, something to eat.
So there was pleasure of being released from the German.
But there was no need to bring us food, because we could give them food. We had plenty of food, and they were had soup. Tins of soup. We were still eating tins of soup from the cookhouse. We're getting tins of soup sent up, you know, to get rid of it. But they were pretty good to us there, and that went all right. Now the next one was this Rookville. R-U-E-Q-U-E-V-I-L-L-E, the Croon deal. That was a very small village, and like a bit of a wooden and a few houses round about it there. That was quite good there.
Were you marching down the road all the way?
No. We were round the fields, either side. There was somebody, there's no road there actually. We're actually going through the fields, you see. The road's fair, we're passing the road. There's a road there. There's a road down there. Then it comes dotted track, you see. Then it joins that one and goes through there. We came down the fields and we sent a section through there. A platoon, rather, went through that village while we waited for them coming back here. Yeah. We did this all the time. We kept off the roads as much as possible and sent people into the villages and back here. Yeah. We went to, that's maybe Martyria or something down to it.
Maragni.
Maragni, see. That's the first one. We came, went through there. That was quite canny. Nothing happened there. We came down in, and that's quite a size. But there was no reports about seeing anybody and saw them in there. But I can't remember much about this one at all. But one of the platoons went through and came met us down the back down to here. That was another casualty.
Saint Ledger,
just on the outside of Saint Ledger. He was wounded. That was all. And
was this again a sniper?
It was a sniper, but nobody knew where it come from. We couldn't find anybody at all. We scrounged around the fields. There was bits of hedgerows in the fields and down the side here. We went all through St. Ledger. There's one or two bits of trees, like little orchards, and that, you know, these little green patches, mostly them, little orchards, about 2 football fields. But they searched around, they couldn't find anybody at all, so we had to give him up. So we had to warn all the platoons to keep an eye up for anybody going around there. Keep an eye up at all. But that's the only one we had there, going through that one. Then we come down to
Ducie-Sainte-Marguerite.
Ducie-Sainte-Marguerite, that's it. Now, there's not a lot of buildings, anything there, really. There's been a battle here. And around here, this way here, there's been quite a battle along that line. This place and that one, there was a heck of a lot of damage done to the buildings and houses. So, 6th, 8th and 9th had had a whack in there, but we didn't see anything at all there, except that the people that were there was very few, but apparently the people there were very good to the troops. They were glad to see them, and that, you know, very glad to see them indeed. And that was that one. And where was the right, the next trip from there, we followed around and we went across the fields there, straight across the field. The road goes down this way and down the side here. And we went across the fields to that little village there,
Lucelle.
And we just got round the corner, we started coming down here, and we bivouacked there for the night at that place, and had the cookout to give our meal. We had no meal coming down there, you see, at all. We had just stuff to keep us going, you know. And here, we camped there. Now, we were there for, I don't know, so many days. We were there, it seemed to be a long time. And the only thing I can tell you about that is very, very interesting. There's one of the kids came up to me, and it's that road he's talking about, or that one. One of them two roads. It was somewhere around about there, you see. He came down to us, and he came across, and he said, sir, he said, there's a lady walking across the road down there in the middle of the fields. Can't be, you're seeing things. He said, no, it's not. So I said, come on, I'll show you. So I went along, I took the glasses with me, put the glasses on, and you know, she was walking along there just off the road, going in that direction, and she was just like somebody out of Paris Magazine. She was toughed up. I couldn't believe it. Walking down here.
Well, that's the Bayeux Con Road.
That's right. Yeah. I thought, I said, go and tell a skipper, will you? John Lowe come up. I said, Lowe, you want a mate? Look through there, and he looked at them. He said, where the heaven is she going to? Where's she come from? I said, I don't know. I just come and told me. She's walking along the road, just on the side of the road. He said, well, we better pick her up. So he sent a couple of lads after her, and then brought her back to the company headquarters. And God, you never said. I mean, it was the dress that struck me. I mean, the other people there had old stuff hanging on them, you know, right down to the feet and everything. She was modern. You know, I remind when I see these lasses in the magazines that we get nowadays, I said, oh, that's my girl from France. You know, you could see her legs, it was just below her knees, a skirt or something, and a coat on. She had a hat on and everything. And we were talking to her, and she didn't say much. She could speak English, but she didn't say very much. And we asked what she was doing there. The skipper did, anyhow. Asked what she was doing there, and she said they chased her out of her home and her village and all that. She wouldn't tell us where it was because she'd been friendly with the German. So he just said, "Well, that's it." So he got one of the signallers, or one of the headquarters people, anyhow. Managed to get a truck, one of those travel things, you know, tractor things. And he said, we're taking you back to the battalion headquarters out the road of this. You can't have walk around like this. So he pushed her in with a couple of lads from the headquarters, and she went up, and that's it. It was a bit of daylight. So that was a little bit of entertainment anyway we had. I had many a good laugh about it, walking down that road. Yeah. So we were there, and we stayed there for quite a while. We had one more casualty there. It was a mortar shell. Fell into the slit with the lad in. And we'd just finished a meal, and people were moving around a bit, you know. Then they started mortaring, so we had to get into slits and that. And one went into a lad and killed it. I think that was the third casualty we'd had coming in. That's all. Now, we were called on to do down here and over. We were up there.
It's Lucelle.
Lucelle. And down here, I didn't know what they called it then, like, it was just on the bend there, I remember that. And
Pavé?
Down the bottom here, there's that wood, and over this side was the Germans. You could see them from there over the top. This is like a valley, a little bit of a valley down there. With glasses, you could see people moving around over here. Now, we had to put a patrol down there. So we sent a patrol from here down that track, and we followed them down later on. We sent a platoon down with them, two sections, I think it was, not a patrol, not a platoon. We sent two sections down there, one each side of of that road, actually, to come down into this wood.
Yeah, that's the road from Lucelle to Audrey.
Yeah, that's it. Is that what they call it?
That is Pavie.
Pavie.
Just south of Audrey.
Well, we came down to there, into that wood, actually, down there. And we had sent a picket down there, a section for a picket, and there was two sections. Another section went down with them, sort of like escort. Left them there, saw them settle down in there, then came back. Now that was a 24-hour change. It was a 24-hour day there. They took food and things and liquid and that down with them to stop. And they took a radio, so we could get in touch with us. It was quite all right there. Now, we found out later on that over this side, the 7th Hallamshire Regiment was there. Now, I always thought that over here, was one of the company of us. One, at least down here, there were like that, one at each side, and we were in the middle. Now, they must have gone a bit further out as they went round, and this side, they've gone maybe too far, orders of the colonel, likely, but there was Hallamshire regiments around here as well. Now, in this wood down here, the Germans were down over this side of the road. Now, we got a message from these people one night that they were sending a patrol out. They saw the patrol come down over and go round that way. That's why we went that way to come back to see if there's anybody lying about. We went, they sent a patrol round there and round the back here and down again. And we had no firing or anything at all. So when that patrol came out and changed over, they were telling us that the Germans came round, they came within about 100 yards of them, but just went back again. But I think they knew we were there. This is what the platoon commander, the section commander said. We knew there. So we told the next one, when he went down, get some slit trenches dug inside that cover. So if he knows you're there, he'll come back firing at you. So be careful what you do. So they said that. We told them to do that, and they dug in. Next night they came round, and they riddled that place, but everybody was underground, so they were all right. They dug a bit deeper than normal, you know, so they got away with it. So I went to the company commander, and I said, look, how long are we going to be here? Because this is going to come on regularly, and we'll have to do something about it. He said, yes, it will. And I said, right, can I go down with the patrol? One of the patrols, he said, no, I'm going to send an officer down with him this time. I said, oh, well, why? What were you going to do? I said, well, what I was going to do, there's little bits of space and cover places around there, you see. What I was going to do, the Germans come over here, and they're up off this road, they're between those two there, you see, and they come round that way. What we should do is move out of there at night, as soon as it gets dark, move out of there and get over there as soon as you can, undercover over there, let them come round, and then belt them as soon as they come round. As soon as you know they're there, or wait till the fire round here, then you belt them at the firing points, where you can see where the firing's coming from, and give them a good hiding. And he said, that's a good idea, Bill, but we'll try that. So he got a platoon commander to go down, and they took a platoon down. I said, well, they won't be scattered well, because we can't afford to lose a platoon. So, never mind. They took the platoon down and scattered around there, and there was heaven to go that night. Jerry came round, just as we thought they would, round there, and he was facing this way, and he scattered them in there, all around there. There was nobody there.
So he was attacking Pavia, and you had this platoon to the
our
east of the town.
Platoon was there, which should have been in there. They were in there. Three nights, I think it was, they were in there where Jerry come and got a good look at them, and he could also see movement from this side. I mean, if we could see it from up there, he could see it from over this side of the hill. But so we had to get these fellas out at night time, and they were just lying in cover. They weren't protected or anything, so they had to make a good job of it. And we tried to tell them that you've got to make a heck of a good job, because you've got no cover, you can't afford to dig trenches. It's just physical cover, but take plenty of ammunition and make sure you clear them when you're over there. So they did that. And we went down the next morning, and there's quite a few bodies there.
So that's basically was your first real action.
That was the first time any of our company had had any action at all in there. And I think that about 12 or 13, I'm not sure. Can't remember how many bodies there was, like, but there was no wounded. They were all dead.
So that must have uplifted the spirits of the men to have a successful action. So early.
To that platoon, oh yes, they were the cowboys. Uh-huh. Oh, they're the best horses, they were the cowboys. But I don't think it affected the platoon, the company, all that much. But what some of them said was, all right, you can do the next one as well if you like, we'll stop and watch you. and then we'd been there a few days, so we moved from there. After 3 or 4 days, we followed around there, and we got into this area here.
Cristo.
There's a big cemetery there called Cristo. We got into that area there, and we stayed there a few days. I had no problems there at all. None whatsoever. And I must have done. There's a cross there. I must have had something there. Sorry, I can't remember what that is, but there was somebody got hurt there, or killed or hurt there, anyhow. And this one, yeah, And that was it. That.
You've got marked Clear Wood, mm-hmm. just south of Christo.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had some action there, being somebody was hurt. What, got something there, you see? Clear Wood. I couldn't see that. Well, obviously, we'd had problems there. I can't remember what it was, but somebody had got hurt. So with the next one next to it, the idea was to clear it, get into it and do it. This is possibly why I wrote that down there. But we had a little bit, and there's action again there. Somebody was hurt there again.
Sure.
I'm sorry, I can't think. I know. I remember going through the wood, right through the wood, and, you know, both sides, and right round at the top, all the way there.
Did you know at this point which regiment or which units the Germans were coming from that we were fighting?
No, we didn't. We had no idea. No idea. The only Germans we saw were one or two individuals at the snipers, and that was it. And I don't suppose, I wouldn't know what they're from if I saw the uniforms. We probably did see the uniforms as well, but I wouldn't know that unless you can get some paper from them elsewhere. And it wasn't our job to go through the puppets. Because if I started on that, everybody would have done it. And that's it. We just passed them all back, passed everything we could get back out of the road. And the only time that they got anything, I'll tell you about it later, was when we got down here.
So you were clearing this wood here, just wood. Northwest of Rory.
And once we got that cleared, we stayed there, just outside the place, out in the corner, just out there, before we got onto this road again, before we crossed that road. This is Fontenelle Pestles, isn't it?
That's right.
Fontenelle. I think that's what they call it, Fontenelle Pestles. Well, we stayed the night before we got to that. And we went through that there, and that was all cleared at all. No problems there at all. And here, we had a bit of a mess up here, some tanks. Our tanks there, they were burned out. So they'd been in battle long before we got there, and that was the first time we'd seen any weapons of war that had been knocked out and burned out, and they were in a heck of a state there when we got to there, on the way down to Rory.
It's between Fontenay and Rory.
Rory, yeah. There was a big tank battle going on over here when we were in Rory.
At Vaughan.
Somewhere over this area, because some of the ammunition, the 303 and that, were coming through the trees in the orchard. That's why we knew. Actually, we stayed there anyhow for a night or two nights, and then we had to go into Rory. Now, we lay up in Rory, just outside of Rory, in that hole in the field. The little hole.
Yes, you haven't explained that for the tape.
No. We had a little hole. It was big enough to get about five or six people in, but it wasn't very deep. It was deep enough to get in and sit down on your uncles down below, to get below the ground. And the skipper was given instructions. He'd been to the colonel. He was given instructions about... We were ordered to go into Rory and see what was happening in Rory. So he picked the platoon out. He picked this young officer. His name started with B, but I'm damned if I can think which one it was. I couldn't remember none of the officers, as a matter of fact. He was given the job of taking his platoon in. Well, taking two sections, I think it was. Went in, eight to ten men. That's all there would be, eight to ten men going in. And I talked to them, saw the skipper, I said, I want to talk to this gang that's going in, just to put them right of what to do when they're going in and what the job is. I got out of the office, I said, have you done a patrol before? He said, no, just practicing, you know, in training, when we're training. I said, okay, well, you send a couple of blokes in front, pick a couple of sensible blokes in front. One is going in out in front, one behind him, a few yards behind. There's no need to get them both killed together. If they meet anybody, they might shoot before they do anything, or they might take them prisoner if there's anybody there. So separate the two, and then yourself and Bant, and you want two at the back and the rest in the middle with you. These two at the back, their job is to get back to us with information. Doesn't matter what happens to you in there, whatever happens in here, this fella at the back will be able to get it, and he's got to get out. And I talk to them separately. Well, together, these two at the back. Your job is to get back with information. Keep your ears open, keep your eyes open. And your job, your two job, is to come back to where you started from with information. We cannot do anything without information. If there's a lot of Germans in there, or a few hidden in there, and you cannot see them, and you come back and tell us there's nobody there, we can go in, nobody there, then be shot to pieces. And that's all your pals and everybody shot. And that could be your fault. Unless, of course, you do your job properly. So get back. You know, it was good talking to them, to get back. So we did that. And they went in, and this lad, he got back. And he told us a story about when they were going into the village itself, there was a number of houses, little bits of orchards, and then there was three or four houses. There was a shop there and a post office there. And as they were going past there, somebody shouted, "Halt, who goes there?" I said, "In English." And he said, "Yes, perfectly good English." And Mr. I can't remember his name, he stood up and shouted, "It's friends, we're all friends, friends." And of course, somebody fired, opened the automatic and wounded him. And we ran, but we were surrounded. They'd heard us coming in, obviously, and collected us. Now, this one lad got back. I said, "What about your mate?" He said, "I don't know, he might be out there lying about somewhere, so we'll give him time." But he didn't come back, so he was caught. And when we went into the story was that there was a lot of people in there because they were talking to each other loudly and shouting at each other. And I thought, wait, there's a lot of them there, and they're confident. They wouldn't do that if there's only a section, half a dozen men or someone like that out on picket looking, you know, giving advance information. They wouldn't talk like that when they know that we're coming after them, because they knew that we were landed and were spreading out. So it must be a strong force. And the information was, eventually, at the end, was that it was heavily guarded. That's why we lost so many men. We knew there was a lot of people there, so we had to go in.
Was this a daylight patrol?
It was evening patrol. Dusk, you know, you couldn't see too far, but you could see. You had to go in. It was no good going in the dark. He had to go in so he could see where he was going so he could get back again. It's so easy to go on a patrol in the dark and never come back. Come back somewhere else. You know, once
that's navigation problems.
That's it. Once you start moving around, unless you've got a compass and you can read a compass, you're hopeless in the dark.
So this, in effect, was a recce patrol?
A recce patrol. Mm-hmm. Just going out to find out what was in the village. If there was anybody there, roughly how many there was. Was it a big group? Was it a small group? Was it a company? Was it a platoon? Or what it was? Obviously, it was fairly well defended, and we found that out when we went in. Because we went in here, and I think there was A company, C company, B company at the back, and D company in the middle. I think that was the way it was. And we had to go in straight in that way. Now, these fields were flat, and later on, I didn't know, but later on, there was a sunken road in between them. And it was as high as that delf rack. Right made down, grass, road, a road, tarmac road. You know, not a track, an actual road, and up the other side. Well, my company was at the middle of them. These were going on the top of the field there, another one on there, and we were at the back here, coming up in the middle. Then suddenly, the road, it came in from an angle and turned there, because there was no road where we were. We had to go down here to get on the road, to go forward. Well, we got down here and went along. They were walking on the sides and everything. Now, these two on the top, they were slaughtered, because they got crossfire, machine gun fire. These fellas over here were firing at them, and these fellas over here were firing at these. So there was plenty of people there.
It was enfilade fire.
Enfilade fire. I mean, quite correctly. If he'd been firing at these, he would have missed half of them. So he was, as they were going on, this fellow was firing across the line of advance, which is common sense. And they got a real good hammering, and we had to go forward. So we went up the middle road. Now, I'll tell you this story, and you can believe it if you like. I know I've told it to two or three people, and I don't think they believe me. I got one lad who come to see me. He lives down the coast, and he was there. And he, I mentioned it to Ina, and